Welcome to episode 555 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today is day 5 in our series, 30 Days to a Happy New You. In John 3 verse 1, Nicodemus is described as a Pharisee. The Pharisees were a group of Jews who were fastidious in keeping the letter of the law and often opposed Jesus throughout his ministry. Jesus often strongly denounced them for their legalism. John the Baptist condemned the Pharisees and another religious sect, the Sadducees, as a brood of vipers. Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, was also a Pharisee. John 3 verse 1 also describes Nicodemus as a leader of the Jews. According to John 7 verses 50 to 51, Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the ruling body of the Jews. Each city could have a Sanhedrin which functioned as the lower courts. Under Roman authority in the time of Christ, the Jewish nation was allowed a measure of self-rule, and the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem was the final court of appeals for matters regarding Jewish law and religion. This was the body that ultimately condemned Jesus, yet they had to get the local governor Pontius Pilate to approve their sentence since the death penalty was beyond their jurisdiction under Roman law. It appears that Nicodemus was part of the Great Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. The Apostle John reports that Nicodemus came to speak with Jesus at night. Many have speculated that Nicodemus was afraid or ashamed to visit Jesus in broad daylight, so he made a nighttime visit. This may very well be the case, but the text does not give a reason for the timing of the visit. A number of other reasons are also possible. Nicodemus questioned Jesus. As a member of the Jewish ruling council, it would have been his responsibility to find out about any teachers or other public figures who might lead the people astray. In John 3 verse 3, Jesus said to him, "Very truly I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Nicodemus was puzzled and asked how anyone could re-enter his mother's womb and be born a second time. Jesus doubled down, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Then he expounded on what the new birth is. Jesus explained that this new birth is not physical, but spiritual. The new birth that we must experience in order to see the kingdom of God is a work of the Holy Spirit. Just as a mother does all the work in physical birth, so the Holy Spirit does all the work in the new birth. Upon our faith in the saving power of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit enters our spirits, regenerates us, and begins his work of transforming us into the image of Christ. We are born again. We're all born with a sin nature that separates us from our Creator. We were designed in his own image, but that image was tarnished when we fell into sin. As sinners, we cannot fellowship with a holy God the way we are. We cannot be repaired, restored, or rehabilitated. We need to be reborn. A happy new you is one who is reborn. In answer to Nicodemus's questions about the new birth, Jesus began talking about the wind. "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." In his analogy of the wind, Jesus is comparing physical birth and growth with spiritual birth and growth. Jesus points out that Nicodemus need not marvel at the necessity of the Spirit causing one to be born again. Nicodemus naturally believes in other things as difficult to understand, such as the wind, which he could not see. The effects of the wind are obvious. The sound is heard, and things move as it moves. The wind, unseen, unpredictable, and uncontrollable, is mysterious to us, but we see and understand its effects. So it is with the Spirit. We do not see the Spirit, but we see the change the Spirit produces in people. Sinful people are made holy. Liars speak truth. The proud become humble. When we see such changes, we know they have a cause. The Spirit affects us just as the wind affects the trees, water, and clouds. We don't see the cause, and we don't understand all the ins and outs of how it works, but we see the effect and believe. When an infant is born, he or she continues to grow and change. A year later, 2 years later, 10 years later, the child has changed. He or she does not remain an infant because a live birth results in growth. We may not see this growth happening, but we see the change it produces. So it is with the new birth. When people are born again in spirit, they are born into the family of God, like newborn babes. This birth is not visible, but it begins to produce changes that are evident. What are some of the changes? Galatians 5 verses 22 to 23 talks about one such set of changes, the fruit of the Spirit. Someone who has experienced a new birth will begin to exhibit character qualities that are more like Jesus. This doesn't happen overnight, but just as a fruit tree grows and begins to produce fruit in season, we begin to produce godly character traits such as love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. These traits are the natural results of yielding to the Spirit and spending time with God in His Word, with His people, and in worship. Godly choices are another impact. Sins that once captivated us begin to fall away as we grow closer to Jesus. Our new birth broke the power that sin had over us and enables us to live in freedom. Romans 6 explains that we have died to our old way of sin and are free to live as we were designed to live. Colossians 3 verse 5 says, "Put to death, therefore, the components of your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." This death to sin is an ongoing process as we grow in our faith and love for the Lord. Speaking of love, another change that happens when we're born again is love for other Christians. 1 John 4 verses 19 to 21. "We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." A person who has been born into the family of God craves fellowship with other believers. God did not create a team where players can be traded. He did not create a corporation where employees can be fired. He created a family where every member is valued and equally loved. As part of His family, those who have been born again are to love and appreciate the other members of this worldwide family. Spiritual gifts also come with the changes produced in that new birth. A part of God's welcome package to those who are born of His Spirit are spiritual gifts that we can use to serve Him and edify the church. Spiritual gifts are special abilities that enable us to be more effective in the particular callings God places on our lives. As each member uses his or her gifts for the good of all, God's family thrives. New babies crave milk, and without it, they won't grow. Likewise, new Christians crave biblical teaching, or they won't grow. Peter wrote, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." The new birth is only the beginning of the life God designed for us. It is also the only way we can enter the family of God and receive the privilege of calling Him Father. Father, we know that we must be born again. If we have not yet undergone the new birth, we ask for this experience to be ours. For days 6 and 7 of 30 days to a happy new you, we invite you to do the following 10 things. 1. Pray that God will help to release you from the restraints of the past. What are the things from 2022 or even earlier that you need to let go? 2. Pray that God will reveal to you what you can do in 2023 to live for Christ with purpose. 3. Pray that the Lord will align your plans with His. 4. Revisit the 10 questions for a happy new you. Begin to write down some possible answers. 5. Think of additional questions that might be appropriate for your spiritual growth this week, such as, what did I learn this week? How did I see or experience God this week? What promises in Scripture should I be claiming this week? 6. We talked about the importance of being more concerned with pleasing God than pleasing ourselves. John the Baptist said this about Jesus in John 3 verse 30. "He must increase, I must decrease." What are some ways in which God can increase and you can decrease? 7. Read the model of giving glory to God in 1 Chronicles 16 verses 17 to 36. 8. Thank God for His grace. 9. Ask God to use His grace to train you to renounce ungodliness. And 10. Ask God to baptize you with His Spirit. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.